Welcome to the Not Very Spiritual podcast. Are you tired of the same old shit? Feeling a bit fucked and ready for a change? That sounds like you or someone you know, you're in the right place. My mission is to help inspire not very spiritual people like myself to find a new way to live and enjoy life. I'm Tom, an electrician and breathwork facilitator from North Wales. In this podcast series, I'll be sharing with you my entire authentic being and providing you with my honest, open life journey as I get real, vulnerable, and discuss my long battle with addictions. I'll provide insight into how my wild, party animal lifestyle has eventually led to years of freedom from alcohol and drug dependency by working a daily 12-step program. Combining this with meditation and now breath work, this has gradually transformed my reality into a more serene and spiritual way of living. I'm really happy that you're here. Let's keep getting better together. Welcome to the Not Very Spiritual podcast, episode 6. In today's episode, we will be looking into step 5 of a 12-step recovery program that sounds something like this. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So thank you for coming along and listening today. Very grateful. Very grateful for all the feedback and the messages and everything like that. If you're just tuning in for the first time, best to go back to episode 1 because it works in order, and you probably won't have a clue what I'm on about if you're just listening today. Go back to episode 1, take your time, listen through. There's a new episode every week. So this is the final episode that I'm using a podcast company, the Podcast Boutique, who have launched and edited the first 6 episodes in a package that I bought, because I haven't got a chuffing clue what I'm doing. And they helped me, and they've held my hand, and they launched it, and it's been great, sounds great, looks great, very happy. So check them out. Now it's over to me. So I've got videos in the process of being edited to go on the YouTube channel. But for now, let's get down to business. So like I said, go back, listen all about my story. And each step of a 12-step program, for me, it was very important to have recovery as your foundation for not very spiritual people like myself. You're never going to just walk off the street and start being like today, go from the pub to the yoga mat or the breathwork retreat or something like that. You know, you need to dip your toe in somewhere else, and recovery will stop you doing your messed up thing. And so go back, listen to what's been talked about, get the gist of it. And in the last episode, episode 5, we were talking about step 4. So we've written our inventory in step 4. And in that process, we will have hopefully had some major eureka moments and realizations. And in this step, step 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. This is one of the shorter steps to complete in most 12-step programs, the actual writing bit and everything like that, because there's always lots of questions and there's a step working guide in most fellowships to get you through the steps. But it is more than just reading out our step 4 and our inventory, because there's massive evolution during these steps, both spiritually and emotionally, in the revealing of ourselves fully to another human being, and of course to our developing understanding of our higher power, whatever that may be. You know, we reveal ourselves, our most inner selves, all our wrongs, and we do that with another human that we'll learn to trust. And yeah, so finding that trust in the process, we've got a trust in something that we can't see, hear or touch. And also with another human as well, this takes loads of courage to actually admit all that horrible minging stuff that we don't like about ourselves and our shame and our guilt and everything like that. We need to do that with another human. So that takes so much courage. And even just to get to this step, You know, even to get to step one takes massive courage, but it's all a gentle evolution forward. And each step through that wall of fear, through that wall of shame, everything, it gets much easier. So you'll already, hopefully, have experienced some inner change. And if you've managed to get this far, one step at a time, you should have definitely had some improvements, especially if you managed to stop your addiction or your behaviour or your emotional way of being, whatever it might be. If not, go back to the start of the series and follow the instructions, because it won't make any sense what you're listening to today. So yeah, in step one, we have already admitted that we have a problem. If it's an addiction, that we've admitted that we have a disease and we're just not a horrible person. We admitted that we needed help. And finally, that a power greater than ourselves could help us. So we need to look back at that experience in the earlier steps for the next stage in our spiritual evolution. And it isn't easy, but you will feel so much freer than you did before already at this step. My step one was one of the most freeing experiences of my life, and just putting down the drugs and the drink and everything like that was... So by now, you'll maybe feel a bit more relieved. I certainly was. Just writing my step four and getting all that shit down. And it took me a year, and it took me like almost two full A4 pages. So it was just good to get it all down, get it all out. And it was just between me at the moment. So it felt really, really therapeutic. And it's a massive self-healing therapeutic exercise in itself. And no doubt, you will have had some eureka moments along the way, and they're just amazing. You're just like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. And yeah, I can't explain how it all works. It just does. You just need to trust it, and it's experiential. So the only way of finding out is by doing it yourself. And before you've read it out with your sponsor in your step five, no doubt a load of fear will creep in. But if you have any sort of decent sponsor or mentor by now, if not, fucking get one. You need one to do this step. A sponsor or a trusted person or whatever you want to name it, you need one. And you do that just by asking. Get to those meetings, get in that recovery people, get on those bloody sober pages on Instagram and all that, and just connect with people. And you know, there's other ways to do it. You just do what suits you, and your sponsor, your mentor, your trusted person, they will guide you through it, hold your hand with love as you learn to trust another human being. And a lot of people who've got traumas and, you know, maybe had some abuse in their lifetime, they or just had some bad experience, really struggle to trust other people. So we let go of the fear, we let go of the hesitation, and we make the commitment to read this out. We find the courage and just trust and believe in yourself. It's not easy. It's scary looking back at those things. You know, you're fearing humiliation, embarrassment. But I guarantee when I read mine out, like some of the things the people I was reading out to were just like, fucking hell. That's made me feel better, put it that way. And yeah, just see it as spiritual medicine that cleanses your soul, and cleanses your entire being. And it's just like peeling back the layers of the onion that I've met before and just getting all that shit out. And just remember that all these fears, all this apprehension, you know, are totally normal. And you'll likely need to connect and discuss these with your new recovery friends, with your sponsor. Just share your fears, because everybody's in the same boat. I'm yet to meet a single person that didn't benefit from the 12 steps. If they work properly and consistently alongside your step work and the other suggested core pillars of recovery, regular meeting attendance is one, a service commitment. You know, you might meet the newcomers at the door, give them a hug. I said handshakes before. You don't fucking handshake. Everybody hugs each other, you know, but when you're not really scripted and you're just waffling, I think I went on a summer holiday skiing, you know, in one episode, because I've listened to them back. I'm like, fuck's sake, you know, who goes to summer holiday skiing? Anyway, regular meeting attendance. You agree that with your sponsor 3 times a week, 4 times a week, fucking every single day for the first 90 days. Then you get a service commitment. You might help make the teas, or you know, buy the milk and just little things like that. It gives you, if you've been out of society for a while, and then sponsorship, so you get yourself a sponsor, or and then eventually you'll sponsor other people. So if you're doing those four things in recovery consistently and to the best of your ability, then it's extremely tough to fail. So my first 3 years, I ran an online meeting every single Saturday, apart from if I was working. Can't miss that time and a half, can you? Time and a half Saturdays, early finish, out off site by one, straight to the butty van, home by two, and paid till five. You can't give that up. So so's God, but you know, nature calls sometimes. And yeah, so do all those four things. Step work, sponsorship, meeting attendance, and service. I think I said that right. Can't get back now anyway. But finally, this process often leads to a change or an evolution within us. We can see clearly on paper that we haven't done lots of things amazingly well, and we could use some tweaks and ongoing adjustments to live a better and more spiritual life moving forwards. So we need to bring along with us a whole lot of courage, a big bag of trust in this process of recovery. And when it's time to read this step out, you should be well on your way. And just as a rough guide for how long it took me, but I ramble when I'm writing as well as when I'm talking. It literally took 2 8-hour sittings to read out my inventory and to complete all of step 4 and 5. So big love and thanks to my current sponsor, Luke. Love you, mate. He's always there for me when I have my regular breakdowns. And my most recent one was last week when I was supposed to be preparing and recording this podcast. It's Monday. This is meant to be live on Spotify on Thursday. I was meant to have it done by last week, 2 episodes boxed off, but I had a meltdown on Thursday and Friday. Did my usual trick, was like, I can't deal with my emotions. I'm still a fucking man-child that doesn't know how to deal with anything. I need to get away and go and do some of my old shit, which is cycling, cold water dipping, saunas and running away and just, you know, and that's it. But yeah, that's why I'm super late getting this over to the podcast company, so soz. But yeah, and this is sadly the last of my episodes with them. So maybe moving forward, they don't sound as great, not as professional. We'll have to see. But or maybe I have a knack for editing and computers, but I highly doubt it, as I regularly want to throw every piece of technology in the sea, even when I do little things like on a Word document, leave underline and bold on and start typing. That is enough for me to smash my laptop into a billion pieces. So, yeah. Must practice more meditation. You know what? Fuck it. Let's do a meditation now, because my heart is way higher than it normally is. I'm 72 beats per minute. 12 minutes in. Right, 72 beats per minute. I'm going to guide a little meditation. Impromptu meditation. So if you don't know what meditation is, basically we're trying to keep the mind busy and concentrating on the breath. That's all it is. It sounds simple. So right, wherever you are, if you can, if you're driving, don't do this, wait until after. But we're going to do a little short guided meditation, about 2 or 3 minutes long. So I just want you to, wherever you sat or stood, if it's safe to do so, I want you to take all your focus onto your breath with your mouth closed, slow, gentle nasal breathing, slowly in, and just focus on the air coming in through your nose, going down your airway. And I want you to just be focusing on expanding the belly. In and out. nice and gentle. And as you're doing that, just really settle into your body. I want you to maintain in that slow nose breathing, expanding the belly in and out, nice and soft, so you can barely move the hairs in your nose. With this slow nasal breathing, we're triggering our rest and digest, our parasympathetic nervous system. Nice and slow. We want to get into the present moment. How does your body feel? Just let everything go relaxed. Slow and relaxed. Staying with the breathing, listening to my voice. Just be grateful for this moment. Taking a couple of minutes out of your day to get in the present moment, to focus on your breath. See how calm we can make ourselves feel. If we've got any weight, just let everything relax. Our forehead, our eyes, our nose, our cheeks, our lips, our mouth. Our shoulders, just let them go. How many of you have got tensed shoulders? Just let them relax. Nice and calm. Just feel some love and gratitude flowing over you. Listen to my calming voice whilst you're breathing. How many sounds can you hear? Is there anybody around your property or wherever you are? Can you hear anybody about? Any vehicles or any noises in the distance? Just have a listen how many different noises you can hear whilst you stay with that slow nose breathing. In and out, expand the belly and release the belly. Expanding upwards and outwards as you breathe in, expand the diaphragm and contracting back in on the exhale. Just enjoy this moment. Letting everything sit down. If you're lying down, relax everything. Really get in this centered place. Still focusing on that air, because that's the most grounding thing. How are you feeling? Is there any sensations in your body? Slowly breathing out. Wow. 58 beats per minute. My breath has slowed down. My heartbeat has slowed down. Just come back into the room. Gently open your eyes. Stretch if you need to. And we'll get back to the podcast. So I hope that wasn't a bit impromptu, unplanned. That's always how I start my breath works, getting everybody relaxed and calm. I feel much better myself, actually. Nice one, higher self, for that idea. So, yeah, a bit off piece there. Soz, not soz. Anyway, back in the room. Wakey, wakey. Hope you feel good. See what a couple of minutes of meditation does to just sort you out, relax you, get in the body. Get on Insight Timer. Try meditation. Just focusing on the breath, the breathing, slow nose breathing gets us in that rest and digest state quicker than the mouth breathing. We should always be nose breathing anyway. So anyway, the 12-step program is just amazing. And I feel so, so lucky to have it as a part of my life. It can be yours anytime, any day, for free, if you wish. So go online and search. Go back to my episode one. Right at the end, I list all of the available 12-step programs that I could find. And your mind will literally be blown by what's there. So, anyway, in the rest of this episode, we're going to be talking about facing our fears, admitting to God, admitting to ourselves, and admitting to another human being, and the exact nature of our wrongs, and finally, spiritual principles. So, if you're not doing a 12-step program yet, see what I did there, then I'll do a quick run through. This is a slide I made for a presentation for a festival. So this was just like a short, brief introduction. So step five, we admitted to God, to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And this is a basic one. Maybe get a notepad and pen. If you're not serious about going into 12 steps, maybe it's a bit of activity to do. So truthfully, this is your exercise. Truthfully, tell someone trustworthy all of your life story, how messed up you are and why. And then some questions. Can I be entirely honest with someone I trust? Can I go deep into my innermost self and bring out the truth? No bullshit. Am I willing to take full responsibility for my feelings, perceptions and my behaviour? Am I willing to disclose everything? I mean it. Everything. Uncomfortable, longly held word there. Anyway, so yeah, back to it. Facing our fears. So, before we do our step five, it's highly unlikely that we won't have some fear and reservations before this step. We need to write them down. What are the fears? Accept them, own them, and walk through them with courage. The cure for the pain is in the pain. Some bloke somewhere said that, apparently. We may need to pray for some courage and willingness and connect with other members or people that have done it before us for reassurance. And if you're hearing this before work in the previous step, I've said it already, go back to the first step, follow the process, and you will be guaranteed to feel better about this once you've worked the previous four steps. And remember, it's got to be in order. It's got to be done in order. You can't just say, well, I don't like the look of those steps, so I'm just going to do step 7 and 10. No, mate. Get back to it. So then, the next part of it, admitting to God. So it might be an idea. I get a lot of inspiration for this podcast, for everything, by reading all the literature in my fellowship. It's really helpful, and I probably wouldn't be able to do this podcast well without the help of the literature, you know, because it's whoever's written to it, big salute to all the people that have put their time and done the service for their fellowship. So yeah, read, you know, and if you struggle with reading, get some help. And there's loads of recorded books and everything like that. So if you do have problems with reading or anything like that, just ask for help. We've already asked for help, or we should have asked before. And I know people struggle with that, but just do it. Find your fellowship. Just explain to them. It's uncomfortable. You know, if you have problems reading or writing or whatever, get some help. There's ways around it, you know. And even if you're not in a fellowship, wherever you're choosing to get on your self-healing journey, discuss this with your trusted person. But hopefully you got in a 12-step fellowship and, you know, you got a new sponsor. Everybody's unique, though, and you may still have questions or uncertainties around the God word. You know, sometimes I still do, and I'm 4 years in. People just don't believe in it at all. God, so-called God, whatever, they're just totally atheist, but they still manage to work a program. So everyone's unique. So plan it with your sponsor, your other human being. It's all part of the process. All you need is some willingness and trust as it works. Just watch, just believe, and whatever, however you do it, that is great. You know, whatever works for you, as long as it is an admission to your higher power, whatever that be. That might be your football team, your fucking love for your kids, whatever it may be. And that will continue to evolve over time. So Don't worry about it. In your first month, in your 10th year, you're going to have a totally different idea around what your higher power is. It's an ongoing process, and this decision we make, sometimes daily, in our step three, will be reaffirmed in the step. So don't worry, look back at the step three as well. And then admitting to ourselves, this is where we basically cut all the bullshit that we've been telling ourselves. We get real with our innermost selves, get out of denial, stop rationalizing our insanity. Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm just having like the odd joint. I'm just having the odd beer now and again. Shut the fuck up. You're lying, mate. You know, I seen you staggering home from the pub after 4 days in the fucking boozer. You ain't fucking just having the odd pint, mate. Just stop rationalising your insanity. Stop the blame game as well. Blaming everybody else for that. Everyone's guilty of it. Blaming everybody else for why they're a certain way. And this is a bit of a rude awakening. So, yeah, stop the blame game. And finally, and thank fuck for that, admit all of our wrongs, our part to play. And once it's down on paper, with our newfound skills and experience we gained from stopping the insane things, stopping the addiction, stopping the behaviours, and when we can see the nature of our wrongs through working all the steps and admitted it was us all along, that fucking finger that's been pointing out at everybody else, their fault, I never had this, I never had... Shut the fuck up. I'm angrily pointing at myself. It was me. It was all fucking me. God damn it. Ace Ventura style. It was all fucking... It was us all along. You know, whatever happened, it was us. You know, there's obviously some examples where it's totally... you know, out of our, but most of it is fucking us. And once we've admitted it was all us, you know, and we can see things with less blame, then we can have the willingness and the ability to choose another way to live. Like, right, okay, what a load of shit I caused in my life. All me, okay, I can't blame anybody else because it was quite clearly me because I've looked at it through different eyes. Somebody's telling me it's quite clearly me. I know it's me. It's all fucking me. Me, 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 me. Fuck me. Jesus Christ, what a wally. As if I did all that. Then we could be like, right, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Other people had factors in it. Other people might have been involved, but you can't control your programming and your environment you grew up with, whatever that may be, but we can certainly control our recovery and where we're going. And with that admission to ourselves, yeah, that it was all us, nobody else, it's a big smack in the face that will assist us in taking a new direction in our life. So I'll give you an example. I was absolutely off my head in some party, and I was in the worst point in my life. I'd gone from a real high in my previous life to a real, really low. Skint, no money, everything had come tumbling down. I'd gone my ski season. I'd left the club night that I helped set up. I'd hit a rock fucking bottom. I got involved with this stupid fucking MCAT shit, which just sent my head up. It was a legal high and it was absolutely insane. That really destroyed my mental health. That was the nail in the coffin for my fucking sanity. And I went to a party, big fucking concoction of every class of drugs that you can think of and drink and, you know, 80,000 units of alcohol per hour. And then I'm hit this like spiritual moment where I'm just hit the fucking code. I've broken the concoction of drugs code where I just felt love and happiness, and I shared my pain in a fucking house party with a load of fucking gobshites and a load of knobheads, and it was really embarrassing, really humiliating. And then next thing, fucking my life just changed. Rumours flying around everywhere, people bullying me and winding me up and using it against me, embarrassing me at every opportunity, and it really hit my fucking kryptonite, my fucking fear, because it was nothing to do with what I was talking about. All those insecurities was the fact that I didn't feel lovable, I didn't feel wanted or liked, or I had the lowest shitty self-esteem, and these people picked up on that, kick them whilst they're down. And I fucking hated all these people for, I instantly overnight stopped going out, stopped enjoying it. And that fucking was a pivotal moment for me going down deeper into my addiction. And those cunts won't know that fucking nearly led me to suicide. But, you know, and for years I had the blame, but these people were just acting out on their programming, doing their way of things. Whose fucking fault was it? It was mine. It was mine for blabbing my private shit with a load of fucking knobheads whilst I was absolutely off me head. If I wasn't off me fucking head, I would have never blabbed my fucking private fucking deepest secrets in a fucking house party with a load of people I didn't fucking know. You know, who just knew me as a fucking joker. So then I could see, you know, despite the pain I was in, whose fault was it? It's all fucking mine, mate. Because I fucking blabbed me shit to fucking people in a fucking massive house party that didn't really fucking know me and just saw me as this fucking joker, easy target. And so it was all my fucking fault. And although there was still pain there, and there still is at times, I could see it was all fucking me. Silly old me. So note to self, don't fucking do loads of drugs and drink and blab all your shit at a house party. Get yourself in a fucking recovery program. Find somebody you trust and tell them in private what's going on when you're sober and you're clean and you're not off your head on drugs. So, anyway, and admitting to another human being, most of us struggle to differentiate between our own responsibilities and those of others, often blaming ourselves for things that we have no control over and then not taking the blame for things that we totally are doing. So we can make mountains out of molehills, but on the flip side, ignore absolutely massive problems that should require urgent attention that are all our fucking doing. Anyone ever ignored an important letter or email, or ignored the post or phone calls by burying your head in the sand? Me, I certainly did. I escaped multiple debts for years after my university mess. I had about 12 grand's worth of fucking credit card debts and loans and shit like that. County court judgments, defaults, and then two absolute bruises on my lawn. 8 a.m. on a Tuesday morning in December, about 10 years ago, soz man. My mum was rudely awoken by, in her words, two absolute bruises on the front lawn looking for me for some debt. So oopsie, powerless unmanageability. So we have no clue about our wrongs before this step. We certainly will afterwards. So I was blaming everything else, but it was clearly fucking me, wasn't it? And then that affected my mum, you know. My mum, on her own, divorced, and fucking two absolute meatheads on the front lawn looking for my debt. She didn't have a huge amount of money, so she was worried and making her upset and full of fear, you know. So I have a lot of regret and stuff like that. And these are the little things that we slowly start to see. And often some things that we don't see as a major fuck up, your listener, your trusted person, your sponsor, whoever it is, they will. So this is why we need our sponsor or somebody trusted to see things how we didn't. So each sponsor will have a different way of working. And this is how the program works. So the skills and the experience are passed down and shared side to side, and just trust the flow of the universe, that it's all working in your favor. So trust, 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 and a side portion of faith. And you will often hear your sponsor sharing aspects of their journey. No doubt you will have carried out some of the same insanities on your journey. If you're in the same fellowship, there's a reason why you're there. And this step certainly does bring you and this person even closer. It's a real gift. And by the end of it, your trust, your respect, and your love will have grown way more by the end of the step for that person. It's a really beautiful, like, intimate experience. You usually do the same sex, so you get close to a man if you're with a man, or a woman if you're with a woman. There are obviously variations to that, but that's the general rule. And yeah, it's something that I'll never forget. You know, you learn that the world and the people in it, in your new life, aren't as hostile, as scary as your maybe previous experiences. And you'll learn how to trust in your new relationships And many of us had lost that in the madness in our previous life. But most of all, we learn about safety. We learn that there are some loving, kind people in the world. Yeah, and that's something that I've only ever really found in recovery, apart from a few people in my life. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And then the exact nature of our wrongs. Not too long now. I thought this was going to be a quick one, but going off and do meditations and shit, aren't I? Hope that was valuable. If not, feedback, please. Get on the website, let me know. Get on the Instagram, at Not Very Spiritual, let me know. Anyway, and the exact nature of our wrongs. So basically, this means placing our focus or highlighting the patterns of our addictions or the behaviours and the reasons we acted a certain way. So I've mentioned it in previous episodes, like some point in our lives, the fucked up thing we started doing, whether that is an addiction or a behaviour, actually solved the problem, whether that was fear, you know, loneliness, depression, anxiety, whatever it might have been, it actually solved the problem. So we're like, oh, that worked, I'll do that again. And it might work for a few years. It might have changed how we felt or made life just easier to cope with. So if people don't have love and they don't have connection with themselves, with anybody around them, if they've got no friends, if they're lonely or whatever, numbing ourselves, numbing that pain can really help. So identifying the nature of this hopefully become clearer during this step, if not to us, to the person we are sharing it with. So, you know, that's it. It's all about love and connection. And sometimes the repetitive cycles of our lives that come clear by writing everything down, they reveal the exact nature of the situation. So discussing the common symptoms or the repeated pattern leads us directly to the nature of our wrongs. So, and for me, I stayed in so many situations and environments where I just wasn't truly respected. You know, it might have been work, it might have been friendship groups, it might have been, you know, at times in other social situations, or, you know, just at different times in your life. Like, why the fuck would you do that? Why the fuck would you stay in a job that you don't like, or a relationship that's toxic, or in a friendship circle where you're not treated very well? Why would you do that? It's because I felt so shit about myself, such low self-esteem, that I thought it was my place in the world, you know, to be treated, to be spoken like shit. As that's exactly what I thought about myself, and I simply didn't know any different. I'd always felt like shit. I'd always, in school, treated like shit. And fucking teachers treated me like shit. My home life was pretty shit through my teenage years, and everything was just shit. So I thought, and then the alcohol and drugs come, everything's just fucking shit. And then, you know, you feel so shit in yourself. The only escape you've got is the drink and the drugs and escaping into parties. And of course you have these high moments, of course you do, but the true deep self is still fucking hurting. And I just didn't know any different. So it was only when I got into recovery and people started showing me love for just being me, and speaking to me and treating me with a lot of love and respect, did I see that the old fucking environments that I've been in were not healthy, loving places. And I just won't fucking put up with it anymore. I'm fucking ruthless, mate. I am ruthless. I just get the fucking guillotine out and just go, right, see you later. And that's it. But this realization made it very easy for me to just walk away from the old, my old past and my old way of what they called associates, with like having hundreds and hundreds of friends, not like true friends, just associates. So just like, just going to get a nice small fucking group and that's it. And you find that in recovery, you know? So yeah, that made it very easy for me to walk away. It's very lonely, especially during the beginning, a couple of years totally on your own. But that was massive for my spiritual growth. My self-esteem grew. The respect and love for myself has grown. And now I only stay in environments where I'm treated with love and respect. And this all comes from working these steps, you know. So do it, you know. It's not to say that you can't have a break. I reconnected with loads of old people from my past. You know, it's not saying that everybody in my life's bad. But sometimes you just need a break, and it's not permanent. Nothing's permanent. You can go back whenever you want, but you need that time to yourself to learn to love yourself. You build your self-esteem and don't put up with less than you deserve. So this goes for your family, for your friends, for your romantic relationships, even marriage, work situation, social life. Don't put up with any shit. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself, as hard as it is walking away. And that's fine, you know. Love yourself, love other people, and just leave the toxicity. Fuck that shit. No excuses. Throw a smoke bomb, disappear, even if it's just temporary. You know, all my true mates, I just really threw a smoke bomb. I didn't tell fucking nobody. I just blocked everybody, even the friends that I'd known some of them since I was 2 years old. And I just like, boom, put the fucking barrier up. If friends truly love you and people truly respect you and what you're about and what you're doing, they'll always be there, and they will understand that you needed to take a time out, fucking do this, get into your recovery, get into, no more excuses. You just got to do this for yourself. And if you don't change it, if you stay in that toxic environment, in that unpleasant environment, in that shit relationship, that shit job, that shit group of friends, if you don't change it, you know, it's a very small set of circumstances where people can't get out of it. And, you know, there's other things for that. But if you don't change your environment by walking away from it, you are choosing it. Let that sink in. I will say that again. If you don't change it, you are choosing it. If you don't change it, you are choosing it. Nobody is keeping you where you are except yourself. And bullshit about we're doing it for the kids. If it's a bad fucking marriage, get out, because it's far more damaging to the children being in a toxic, angry, unpleasant environment than it is to see your two parents fucking happily divorced. Yeah? So cut the bullshit. Anyway, spiritual principles, we're coming to an end. How do I talk so fucking long? I don't know. Trust is the main one. Courage, self-honesty and commitment. So stop using or behaving to change your feelings. Running away from yourself. Walk through the pain. Walk through the feelings with courage. The cure for the pain is in the pain. Is it Rumi or someone like that? Not very spiritual. Don't know if you could tell by my podcast name and all that. The pain leads to serenity, love and joy. An increase of humility and self-acceptance. So trust is the main one. Trust in your new sponsor, trust in the program, trust in yourself, get some courage. It's hard, it's not easy. Self-honesty, really hold up the mirror, and just commitment to your new way of life and what you're doing. So anyway, like, subscribe if you're listening to the video on YouTube. If you're on the earlier podcast series, please download it, auto-download it. I need to get back in the charts. Maybe I ramble on a bit. Get into your program, work things better, find a new way to live. And yeah, www.notveryspiritual.com. Anyway, I will leave it there. Thanks for listening. Next episode, every Thursday moving forward until the end of series one, episode 13. Then I'll know more by then about what's moving forward. So thanks for listening. Really appreciate you being here. Hope you took something from it. Lots of love to you. Bye. Thank you for taking some of your valuable time to listen to the Not Very Spiritual Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, maybe learned something new, and that you leave feeling inspired and excited to listen to the next episode. I would be grateful if you could share it with any people or groups that you feel could benefit from listening to what I have to say. I was lucky enough to be blessed with the gift of recovery, and this has changed my life beyond my wildest dreams. It's literally free and accessible to almost anyone, anywhere with a desire to recover. I hope I can help inspire and motivate people into seeking a new way to live and enjoy life. So please download, comment, like, subscribe, and you can also join the community for free at www.notveryspiritual.com or on Instagram at notveryspiritual. If you're willing to try out a free online breathwork session with me, the details are on the Breathe More Love page of the website. Here, you can also enjoy the WhatsApp group where I post all of my playlists, details of upcoming events, and also the breathwork session recordings that can be viewed at any time. Before I leave, one final reminder from me to you. Whatever you or your loved ones are going through in life right now, nothing is permanent. There is help out there, change is possible, and finally, we do recover. If nobody has told you today, I love you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Let's keep getting better together.